Our this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, from verses 29 to 38. And this can be found on page 1210 of the Church Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, your word is holy, and by immersing ourselves in it, we see your path. Please help us to have open ears, open minds, and open hearts to hear your message and directions for us. Father, please let my words be your word and your gospel message. Amen. So, by faith, from the Red Sea to the Promised Land. Or might the title be By Faith, etc., etc., because of the great long list of biblical heroes? Or, as some people who are interviewed often say, and anybody else who knows me. By faith, etc., etc., and anybody else who knows me? I don't know. Now, I just want to recap what was written at the very beginning of our journey through Hebrews 11, the first verse, to reset the scene, as it were. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Or, because it might be helpful, this is the message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. So, when I read the passage, and having heard it read again, thank you, Kevin, with its list of characters, it reminds me of an Oscar's thank you speech. So, bear with me. This is an Oscar's moment. You've been awarded Best Actor, Best Film, Best Cinematographer, or Best Whatever, and your long thank you speech consists of the following people: gaffers, grips, pullers, riggers, best boys, foley artists, dolly grips, and last but by no means least, wranglers, who manage and train and care for specific elements that need special attention on set. For example, animals, props, and children, etc., etc. I do know what each one of those people do. If you want to find out, ask me afterwards. So the world watches you, the film world watches you, fellow actors, fellow whatevers watch you. A panoply of crowds cheering you on as you get to the podium to receive your Oscar, to give your thanks, to make note of the support given and for which you give thanks for. And you thank each and every one of them because they made the film happen. These are the specialists that make things happen. As much as you did, the world of film nuts applauds your work and the work of those specialists. So, our heroes, those in verses 29 and onwards, are not the etc. etc.'s and the anybody else who knows me. Oh no, they've done it too. Who through their actions got things done. These were the specialists who made things happen. They had faith in all that God had done and would do. And in these few verses are the titles and the credits of the film by faith. Previous names in previous weeks, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Moses, et al., who may well have been the executive producers and so on, each with stories of their own to tell. But some of the nitty-gritty of the film, further nitty-gritty of faith, happens with the folks in verses 29 to 38. And I say nitty-gritty because sometimes it was brutal. Sword slashes, stonings, cuttings in half, torture, and so on, as we heard. As it can be in the film world, well, sort of, hours and hours on set, rehearsal after rehearsal, retake after retake, appalling weather, bitter, biting cold, killing, searing heat, working with children and animals, kept apart from your family, imprisoned on a set on location. Anyway, back to our heroes. They've been doing this faith thing for years. The panoply of heroes in verses 29 onwards had faith. Faith in God. Faith that he was, is, and will be the truth. Not that they would get to see what was promised. We're lucky, and that's an understatement, we know Christ. He came to earth as a man, died as a man, but he rose in. A resurrection attested to by hundreds of people. We have faith in Jesus because he was known. We know he was on earth. We have the proof. We have the reports. We have the eyewitnesses. We have the letters. But more of that next week. That was a taster, a trailer, if you like. So these heroes of faith, in verses 29 onwards, were ordinary men and women like you or I, who had struggles like us. Their faith allowed them to do extraordinary things. But in the titles of this film, by faith, this roll call, these credits of the heroes in verse 29 onwards, they didn't know Jesus, but they knew and had faith in God. And these people did these things. Israel walked the Red Sea dry. Israel stomped around Jericho and reduced it to rubble. Rahab, the only non-Jew, a Gentile, but in the lineage of Jesus, preserved the spies in her house. This makes Rahab the great something or other of King David. And at this point here, the writer of the letter of Hebrews gets concerned about time to tell us about the rest of the heroes. So I'll give you a brief rundown, and you can see how remarkable they are. So, then there was Gideon, military leader, fifth judge of Israel, defeater of Midian with just 300 men, Barak, military commander, who with the prophetess Deborah had a major victory over the Canaanites, Samson, legendary warrior and judge, super strength, Jephthah, mighty warrior, ninth judge of Israel, military commander, David, not such a little name in this list, second king after Saul, greatest king of Israel, writer of Psalms, giant slayer, uniter of 12 tribes. Samuel, another big name, last judge, major prophet, priest. And then the army of prophets, 100 of them almost, including people like Daniel, another big name. But they did mighty things. They all did mighty things by faith. They toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires and sword thrusts. They turned advantage, they turned disadvantage to advantage even. They won battles, they routed alien armies, and women received their loved ones back from the dead thanks to Elijah and Elisha. But, and this is a Hollywood-style volte-face and about turn, in verse 35, all of a sudden, it changes to, there were those who were tortured, who refused to give in, those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood, others braved abuse and whips and chains and dungeons. This list of people is another top list of mighty people from the history of Israel. They all had faith in God. They all believed in God, believed his promises. Simple, active faith. Faith that God knew what he was doing, even though their storylines were tumultuous. Faith that God knew what he was doing for them in their lives. Faith that God was doing things for their people, for their future, for their descendants. Faith that God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob would come true. Faith that God's promises would mean a future for Israel. This panoply of people who did big things for early Israel, they made this history happen. They worked on the project. They worked in faith, by faith. They had faith in God, active faith, active belief in God, and they did big things despite not seeing the end result. As it says in Romans chapter 8, 38 to 39, as a summary of what all these, our heroes, went through, Paul says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from our faith in and the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." I have a simple faith. A simple faith like those who heard beside the Syrian Sea, line from the hymn, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." And rereading the words of that hymn again recently, I think this has become my hymn for life. Read the words, you decide. So, all this faith, how do we apply it? What does it mean for us? Two things. Trusting God's ultimate promises when facing personal crises. Have faith. Maintaining spiritual stamina during trials. Keep faith. So, this is what we can take from Hebrews 11, 29, 38, part one. Trust God's ultimate promises when facing personal challenges, crises, catastrophes, personal stuff. Have faith. Linda spoke about our trials and tribulations with Matthew, our youngest, a few weeks ago. And it's how we respond in our faith at times like those that count. You may be aware that I had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago, a rare blood cancer called myelodysplasia syndrome, or MDS for short. That was a bit of a shock, to put it mildly. However, as Linda and I sat in a breakout room with a Royal Surrey haematology consultant and a clinical nurse specialist, I felt strangely calm. I had faith, simple faith. Thereafter, things changed dramatically. I had to isolate again, like we did in COVID times, because I had no immune system to speak of. And I remember reflecting that this was a huge deal. So I prayed and handed over my worries about my diagnosis to God. And I knew it was going to be all right, because I was in God's hands. I trusted implicitly, simply, basically, actively, that God would be there for me and would look after me and my family. And he has. I was calm and knew that God's hands were there. I had faith. I've been treated twice with a stem cell transplant. Well, it's a mega infusion, really. And as an aside, we have to bless the German boy. who at 18 at my first transplant and 20 a second gave me life again. Praise him. Bless him. Amen. This is what we can take from Hebrews 11, 29, 38, part 2. Maintain spiritual stamina during trials, or keep faith. Lots of things have happened since then. Bumps in the road, potholes, you might say, even sinkholes. For example, when my first transplant relapsed. When the second time around, my new stem cells, my new immune system, have grown a little overactive and regard parts of me as alien and foreign. And yet through all of those trials and troubles, I have kept faith. But unlike the heroes of old that I introduced earlier, who had simple faith in God, I have the promise of a new covenant. I keep faith. We have the promise of a new covenant with Christ. But that is for the final instalment of our hexology of faith next week. So, in summary, have faith. Trust God's ultimate promises when facing personal stuff. And keep faith. Maintain your spiritual stamina during trials. Have faith. Keep faith. And in the end, either an Oscar awaits, or eternal life with the one who has kept me going, you going, will keep us going. When you have faith in him, when you keep faith in him, I think I know which one I want. Amen.